We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Stacking them deep, selling them cheap.
It tastes like gasoline, rubber, and victory.
We're just out here stacking pennies.
Hey guys, welcome to Stacking Pennies. I'm Corey the Joy, driver of the number 7 Camaro, joined to my right, Ryan Flores, front tire changer, Ryan Blaney's Ford Mustang.
You used to introduce me as your buddy.
No,
now
drop
just,
that.
Now you just drop
Bowman
that
Gray competitor.
Bowman Gray.
You're going back this week.
Going back. Yep.
Couldn't get it. Didn't get enough.
I like it.
Said the air cleaners out there everywhere, beware.
I went over to PSR the other day and that car was sitting there and I was like, ooh, I got the A post and everything.
Did it have a tire mark? A
was,
post,
oh, hood, yeah.
Right front Nerf bar.
Yeah.
That was impressive.
It was racing, man.
Speaking of impressive, I tried to outdo you like we were talking about on Sunday. So we brought the door.
Got it.
I got it. That thing was just in a pile of bones, essentially, at the shop. So I said, this is mine.
Keeping and, that one.
Shop foreman was like, well, you're going to have to fight your truck driver for it. I said, he wasn't along for the ride. This is mine.
Yeah.
Little keepsake of Talladega for you guys. If you're watching on YouTube, you can check out that door behind us. But we went to the Monster Mile this weekend. I think a lot of people would agree that's their favorite racetrack, but track position is of prime real estate.
I think the racetrack itself is my favorite. The infield is my least favorite.
Well, there's a horse track in
to
it.
To navigate the
there's
infield.
There's gravel and just like gray. It's kind of like anti-seize on your feet.
You can't get in and out. But big up to going to one race there year.
Dude,
I was
packed.
Listening to the Teardown and they made a good point. This is like the first Dover race since COVID that's been like an actual race, right? They had COVID where it was just like no fans.
I think
and they
it
had
rained
limited capacity
3 years
and
in a row.
2022, it rained. So this was, it felt like an event. Like, and that's what,
it was packed.
That's what going to one race does. It doesn't just feel like a race, like, oh, we're there. Like, it felt like an event. There was a lot going on in the Midway. The place was packed. It was
absolutely
like, the atmosphere was awesome. And then I think one of the gifts and the curses of that place is there's only kind of one way in and out.
Yeah.
So after the race, like there's just fans lined up when you're going out, which I get if you have a bad day, it could be a little bit of a pain, but like, I think it's cool. You know, there's people that like watching it.
I think that I get caught up too much in thinking that people are just watching my car, like out of the windshield, like they're riding with me and just live or die. And when I'm having a tough day, I wouldn't even consider this weekend a tough day. We just maximized our day and ran 21st. But when I'm having a real bad day, I just look in the stands and just like find somebody eating a corn dog, not paying attention whatsoever, belligerently drunk, and be like, that guy doesn't care. He's just here for a good time. So why am I worried about it so much?
Well, you were.
Hey, I did see Dale Earnhardt. Remember that guy?
Oh,
that
is he
guy?
Dressed
he
like
was there.
Earnhardt? Oh, gosh.
He was in the
did
one.
You see him in
taking
the
pictures. Like
you saw him like
under
a,
caution.
Under
I'm looking, you know, I'm looking in the stands. I'm like, hey, there's Dale Earnhardt, the Dale.
That guy. He used to go to Martinsville quite a bit.
He's been everywhere.
Yeah.
That guy. That people were taking pictures with him every time I come around. He's taking pictures of somebody else.
After like, the race, you stopped. You pretty much were in our pit stall. It was funny. You pulled up, and I was like out there wrapping a banner up, and you pull up, and I just gave you a thumbs up. You just like looked at me, but then you sat on the wall like you were drained after
hot.
The race.
Yeah, I was hot.
Was it? Did you have
my
an
cool
issue?
Shirt didn't work. I think we're like I don't know two for 11 on cool shirts working this year.
You get that fixed up.
I would love it if we got that fixed up. To be honest with you, but let's not get too far into the weeds here. Let's go.
Well,
back.
I was like. It's a physical race,
oh
and you
God.
Sit there, and you can see how fast you guys are going. And
bro.
Then they show the in-car, and it's like, you guys are driving that living crap out of them. And then I, like, saw you, and I'm like, oh, yeah. And then I saw Hostfar, and he's just standing there, goofy as hell, just, like, not even sweating. And I'm like, something's wrong with Corey's interior here.
Yeah, it was hot. So that place is the, I think that's why everybody loves it so much, because it is the most it's the most wear and tear on your body. There's the most G load, vertical and lateral, because it's got a lot of grip. You're hauling ass. Even though, one random point, I saw that the Arca Series fastest lap was faster than the Cup Series fastest lap, but we'll leave that there before we get down into the weeds with that.
Practice. It seems like it's always, it's always, everybody kind of is like excited for practice because it's the fastest laps on the track all weekend.
All weekend.
And it's like, you just got to go straight out there, and your first lap on the track is going to be your fastest lap you run. So, like, get right to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely wakes you up. Especially if you're in a group B, you're standing there towards the end of pit wall, which also, I was legitimately standing right there looking up when Kaz absolutely just yard sailed that thing. That was a large hit.
Bro, large. There was nothing.
The Rick Ware team was, like, four or five stalls down. I looked, watched it, heard it, right? The crunch and the eerie silence of the slide, and I looked over and all those guys are just like, oh no,
dude, that's a long. I saw Jerry Kelly the next day, who is like a competition director over there, and he was like, you know me, I'll get in the trenches, and he
was
in
the trenches. I saw him over
he there. Said he was telling me the amount of work that it goes in. He said you know, shout out to Tommy Baldwin for having our backup car, you know, really close, but he said the good thing was the car hit square,
yeah,
and it didn't mess up any of the shocks. So they were able to take the shocks off and put them right on the other car. Like, they checked them, obviously, but they were able to run them. But he said that it's, you know, seat interior. You got to go get a transaxle. You got to rent one of them, and then, you know, it's a lot of work still. And they said they were there till like 7 o'clock that night, just thrashing.
So there was a bit of concern. Guys were cording right fronts. It's not unusual to see your first set of tires at Dover laying rubber down, to see cords on the right front. But it was marbling up real bad, and everybody was looking and pointing that, like, it was going to be another Bristol 2.0.
The marbles, when I got there Sunday morning, I was like, oh boy, because the marbles on the tires looked exactly like Bristol. Rolled up, kind of stuck to the tire. I was like, here we go.
So it was cool. It was fairly cold, 49, 52, somewhere in there. And the track wasn't taking any rubber. It was just green as it could be for both practices. And the lane was super narrow.
The bottom?
Yeah, just because the marbles kept tightening and tightening up.
Oh, yeah.
Saw the 71 back in the fence. Saw a couple guys spin out. The track was super treacherous there in practice. Then you turn around and go to Q. And everybody's wondering, is it going to play out like Bristol? We need to build some compliance into this thing. And then sun came out, 85 degrees or whatever it was, 82 degrees, and it raced fine. It was back to the normal lay-down rubber like we know over the entirety of a green flag run. And it's just we saw a little bit of mix-up in qualifying.
Is it more intense there when you unload off the truck for practice? Or is it the most intense, or is it more intense at Bristol?
Dover.
Yeah, that's the most intense practice session all year.
Yeah, because you know that if all it takes is one slip tire in practice or Q, and you're just going to
– What about Texas? Is it the same way or kind of easing it? Is there anywhere that is – I guess my question is there anywhere that is as intense as Dover practice and qualifying?
No. No, that's the top of the list. For just the amount that you have to, you know, in scientific terms, sack up at Dover – you know, you have to bring the sack.
Yeah, full sackage.
Full sackage. And you can't even bring enough sack.
Right. Well,
I hope you brought enough. Probably didn't.
If you bring too much, you can end up like Kaz.
Yeah, he had a little too much sack, actually. So we qualified 25th. That was kind of the pace that we thought we had. We didn't have a ton of fire off speed. And you know that place is notoriously hard to pass. So, start the race, and it is just an absolute battle from the drop of the green, three wide on restarts, trying to block, trying to put yourself in a good spot, in an offensive leverage spot, making sure you put other guys in bad spots.
You
just
were passing a lot of cars at the start. They showed you and Ricky? Was it you and Ricky kind of going through the field? Or who? No, you and the 9.
Yeah.
It was you. The 9 was following you. Yeah, you were let's just go. Mowing them down.
Yeah, we were. We drove to, I think, 21st. Felt good about that. Then we came down. We had a tough stop. Came out last car in the lead lap.
Now you have a couple backup guys because your guys are on the 5 car. So you have a couple pretty green guys pitting your car.
Yep. So and it showed Jack Mann and rear changer are new to our team. A little bit longer stops a couple different times than what we'd like. Sparks got a bit fire in the radio.
Well, I mean, there's like, you got to know your situation too, because they're young guys, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, if you can yell at them, and it could go the other way. You know, you got to have their back. You got to have your guys back in battle.
Yep. So, and for a car like ours, right there in mid-pack, gaining 2 spots or losing 4 spots on pit road is the difference between staying on lead lap, fighting in the top 15 the rest of the day, or being in the trenches on the back end or like in the freaking lucky dog position with guys on your door, guys running into you, and could never quite get across that bubble. So stage 2, we were going to not quite throw a Hail Mary, but we were going to try a different strategy. If we do the same thing as everybody else, we're going to run just the same as everybody else. We're going to run 24th, 25th all day. So it actually ended up being the right call. Thing is, we're the instances in a cup race now are so small. The margins are so small. An incident on lap, whatever it was when Ricky spun, we'll get to that in a minute. Whenever Ricky spun out in the third stage, that messed up our strategy that we committed to halfway through stage.
Yeah, because you ran went long. No, well, you're going to go down a lap. You're going to go a lap down anyway.
We're going to go lap down. If we pit with the leaders, we're going to go a lap down.
So you run.
We go long, as long as we can, to the fuel light, which is when low fuel pressure comes on. You could flip your switch and make it a half lap or make it back to the pit area essentially. And then you have enough to make it to your fuel window. You're going to wave at the brake. Then you're going to make it to your fuel window in the third segment and then have a really long run at the end. So stage 2, I think we led 30 some odd laps.
Yeah, you were leading
tires,
for a while.
Tires were old. So I was running the top to try to keep the momentum up. Our car actually was pretty good for what it was, how old the tires were. And I was in a pretty decent spot here.
You consistently ran the top this whole kind of run.
Well, once the fast guys are coming on new tires, you just lose less speed and momentum running the top like that, because you can just give them the lane, then you can blend and keep your momentum up. So I thought that was the right play for our day. And what was that NASCAR chasm tweet? I heard something about that. Corey LaJoy will be late to recording his own podcast tomorrow because he'll still be out there not pitting. I appreciate that. That was the move. So, look, if we happen to catch a yellow in that span of 30 laps, like we're sitting, and we're going to run top 10.
Dover's known for having cautions, and we had a bunch of cautions yesterday. And then especially pit cycles, green flag pit cycles at tracks like that tend to
– they don't cycle all the way around.
If you have a wheel fall off, you have like what the 47 happened where he blended and got in a wreck. Like,
all it takes is one instance where if we catch an instance like that, and a lot of those leaders that – pitted or stuck a lap down, they have to wave. We legitimately run top 7. The 31 was behind us all day.
Well, I think
and
for
he
us,
flipped it. He went long on the third stage, caught the yellow, and ran 8th.
We were in front of the 5 and the 11. We were running 3rd, no worse than 4th. We led early, and then we got short pitted like 2 laps. They pitted like a lap or 2 before us. And we lost like 5 spots. It's what put us behind the 5 and the 11. I don't know if that's what lost us the race, but it's what lost us some track position, because you just have to be on the offensive so much like that.
Yeah.
Then you turn around later in the race. We are the first ones to pit, and caution comes out.
Yeah.
And we were the lucky dog, but it still hurt our day.
Then you got line up, tail end, and all that.
But that's, that's the difference. And the 11 team passed the 5 on pit road, and it was like the 24. They were fast. They had a pit road incident, and that put them behind. You just have to be so perfect all day. You can't lose any track position at all, even if you have a good pit stop, right? If you get short pitted by 1 lap and you get behind that guy,
especially if it's for the control of the race,
yeah,
right? You give the 11, the 5, 24, any of those guys control the race, it's going to be tough to get control back.
That's where it's just so
do we bring it up right now, because Kyle Larson said I want to talk about it. Rear view cameras. I've been saying it. I don't think I've said it on the podcast, but I think rearview cameras have hurt racing.
Goodbye.
Because when you have a mirror, you can your scope, your width, your field of vision is very small. You had your spot mirror on your left side to see if anybody's poking on your left rear quarter, and then you have your rearview mirror, or you had your rearview mirror, and you could only see out the rear window. You can't see wide. Now the camera is on the roof, and you can legitimately see if somebody's almost side by side with you. That's
where
how wide the angle of
where the is
camera.
Your
It's right next to my dash to the right.
Is that
side.
Where everybody's is?
No.
Can you put it to the left?
Yeah.
You can.
Yeah.
Because
there's not really. Joey puts it on the left real close. I wanted to make it to where my eyes didn't have to. If I'm looking at my dash, my eyes don't have to adjust any more depth. It's just the same depth as my dash.
So what I think about is like the limited racing that I do with a mirror is like when you're looking kind of out the A post when you're racing.
Yeah.
Right towards the left front tire. That's kind of where your field of vision is all the time. So you're kind of down and to the left. But then when you have to look at your mirror, you're up and to the right.
Yeah.
So you switch your whole plane of view, and then it's almost like looking at your phone when you're driving. So if you can keep it in the left side and you're looking where you're going, then you can just kind of glance down at that. It makes it easy to air block.
That's what you do. It's just another tool you can use to play defense.
And that's it. I think they need to start taking tools away from you guys because it's so calculated. Like, I think about it, not only, okay, we have more tools than we have ever had. And you look at the Xfinity races, and everyone's talking about great the Xfinity races. Well, there's no trickle-down technology to Xfinity now.
Yeah.
Because there's no cup teams that are building truck arm, big spring cars that they're getting that information to Xfinity, and it's tightening up the field.
Yeah.
Right? Because if Gibbs was still building cup cars with the same suspension as the Xfinity car, the Gibbs Xfinity cars would be that much better because the technology would trickle down.
They did win on Saturday, actually.
But it was a really they didn't win driving away,
right.
Like they would have.
Yeah.
Shout out
Ryan Truex.
Shout out Ryan Truex. Shout out Carson Quaffle. Hell of a race. Hell of a race. I was excited.
An Xfinity career brewing for that fella too. Two top fives. Let's go, dude.
Dude, that guy's. I'm pumped for because he's a short track guy.
Yeah, I know.
You know, it's awesome.
I wish all he had to do. This is easy for me sitting here on Monday talking about it. I'm watching from my casino hotel room. Out, I had like, you know, I had the view halfway down the backstretch, turn 3 and 4 restart zone. And I'm watching, you know, the broadcast on my phone, but I wanted to see it live time. And he's had his control, I believe, 2 restarts in a row. The one Austin Hill spun out underneath of him. And then the money restart, right? When he lines up with Ryan Truex on the bottom. I wish he went as deep in the zone as you could possibly went.
Should have went earlier.
If you go early there, you win the race. And I think that's probably, I don't know who's spotting for him. That's one of those where you look back at all the races, like a Denny at, where was it, Richmond? Make them say that the leader jumped early because they're not going to – those guys are all waiting to time it, and you go all the way deep in the box, and now everybody's on you, and they know when you're going to launch. Yeah. I'm launching like I'm at Rockingham, and Dad's yelling at me in the middle of turn 3 and 4 to go. I'm like, what? Go now. What? Hit the gas and start. Like, it was that early.
Go.
Just go. Okay, just go. And you just go. And then you catch everybody sleeping. I think Dan, I did notice Denny launched a bit early on that 1-2, and I think it might
have been it looked bad. From where I was sitting, I didn't know, but I was like, I hope he was the control car.
He was. You can if the guy in the bottom doesn't get a good launch and get some wheel spin, it looks bad, but
yeah.
that's a pro move. You go early. NASCAR's not going to make the call if you go 3 feet early, and nobody's really – everybody's still warming their stuff up, clutching, cleaning the motor out, and then all of a sudden the leader goes, oh, see ya, deuces.
Back to the point, though. We got on – that X-finished. Tangent by trickle down technology, but we have too many tools, right? Like to the fact that last week when the 11 car got out of shape and hit the 42 coming to pit road, and Chris Gabehart goes, hey, I see your steering wheel's a little bit off by the data. You want us to fix it? And they know exactly how many flats to go on the tie rod to get it back.
Yeah.
Right? We have too many tools. Start taking some. I'm on the team side. The team and the drivers are never going to want you to take tools away.
Yeah. But the,
take them away.
The more,
take
the more
start with the mirror this week,
dude. I'm with you. I am team no rear view cameras. You can legitimately see everything. You can see everything that happens behind you, and you can peek down at it. And you can move the lane. You can cover as much as you want. You don't even really need a spotter so much. So if we take that away, it would put the race back into it would put the drivers in a less defensive prone position, because you wouldn't know in the middle of the corner. You'd have to look from your point, look from the left up to the top, and you're not going
to
do that.
And make it easier to miss it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's going high.
He's going low. Son of a bitch.
that's exactly. I don't know. Like, it's definitely not helping anything. It's an easy fix. Unplug them, pull them out.
Yeah.
Let's move on. And you know, it's just, yeah, like you said, it's an easy fix. It's too many tools. And let's get back a little bit to what we should be.
All right, for those who are watching us on YouTube here, we have some more video clips. Let's get right to it. So there was a little bit of beef, apparently, between the 48 and the 5. 48 yeah, having a good run up there in the top 5.
Much appreciated, 5 car. Race, he's not going to pull over for you. You got to go earn it. Let's go. 5, elbows up, let's go. Dudes aren't going to give you shit all day. You have just taken. You've done awesome. Drive like an asshole the rest of the race. Stay locked in. Fuck them all. Let's go.
Evan, just let me drive the race car.
All right, clear by 5. Good luck.
Kevin Hamlin. And so Kevin, backstory, Kevin Hamlin works for Alex Bowman.
Yeah.
Like he if you order an Alex Bowman t-shirt, I think Kevin Hamlin sends it. I know this because whenever we powder coat the sprint cars, Kevin Hamlin comes pick them up.
Yeah.
So they're pretty tight. But he was keeping them honest there. He was mad at the 5 car aero blocking them. The 5 is running for the stage win, I believe. He's mad at the 5 car air blocking him, and he's bitching about it. And Hamlin says, go up there and pass him. He's not going to give it to you.
Yeah.
And then he tried to pep talk him, and Alex told him, shove it.
Yeah. They kick pound sand.
But
hey, it's a very high pressure situation. You feel like you're in there riding around. You would think that your teammate of all people would air block you less, but hey, it's racing, man.
Well, I mean, he's racing for the stage win.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big deal. And if you give up control of the race there, right?
Who knows what happened?
Yeah, like you can't give up control of the race. Sorry.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel... It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Aero blocking is frustrating. It seems that it's super frustrating for you guys.
Yeah.
But it's
part of the sport.
It's where it is. You know, we gave up. If you watch the Xfinity cars, they can't really run next to each other. You saw Austin Hill bust his ass late in a race. You can't run next to each other or else you'll spin out.
And you can manipulate the air. If you're behind somebody, you can pack their left for a quarter and make them loose. You can do things like that where you can't do with this car.
But what we changed is we made these cars be able to run side by side now.
Yep.
You can run tight with each other side by side,
yeah,
but you can't run behind somebody. So that's why it's so important to get control of the race, whether it be pit road, restarts, or to make control of the race like the 5 car did and like the 11 did late.
And then there's always the channel two, the driver can't hear, that they always go. That's where the old, like.
Oh, we got a little channel two here?
Yeah, we love a good channel two.
Whining about a teammate racing for the win, like shut the f*** up and drive it.
Yeah, I know. He's our guy, man.
Well, Blake Cat is back.
Blake Cat is back. So, hey, you also, it's easy to sit here on a not pressurized situation on a Monday and listen to it and be critical of it. It's not anything new to notice. Like, the 48 hasn't won in a while. 5 and the 9 and the 24, those guys have been on heaters. So there's a little bit extra pressure there. They've had a good car. They're in the top 10, or top 5, contending for a stage win. Let's not read too much into those guys being fired because, hey, they see it. They can go get it.
I like Blake had the maturity there to calm the whole situation down.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Kevin's a little frustrated because Alex fired back at him.
Yeah.
Kevin comes on the radio and kind of voices what he's seeing, and Blake just says, yeah, man, that's our guy. Let's reel it back in. He didn't yell at anybody. He just, hey, that's our guy. Moving on.
Yeah, that's it. So this was when I went back and just was thumbing through like the highlights of the race. The 11 team continues to put their driver in positions to win. This is at least the second or third race. I think back to Richmond when they got him the lead and got him control. They again put him in control of the race, and Denny got up on the wheel and got her done. 48 in the 5. 48's in the tough spot here because he's in lane 2. He doesn't have any choice because 11 is just going to keep taking. And once he's got the nose in front of him, he just gasses up and kind of takes it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the biggest difference this year. I think, you know,
that's close.
The 11's got almost, you know, Denny's got almost 60 wins. He's got 50, almost 55 wins.
54, I think, right?
54 now. And how many would he have if he had this strong of a pit crew his whole career? He's always had good pit crews. The 11's always had good pit crews.
These guys are.
But the last couple, the last 2 years or so, it's been kind of noted that they've had their struggles. This team here is strong. And, you know, we've told you about them all year. So there's a reason. And, you know, Gabe Hart is smart and. Like I said, the magic strikes again. I guess
they've
just
got that magic.
I guess they just got some magic. It's definitely not hard work and, you know, all those guys putting
the details right.
You know, having some of the best guys. You know, Joel is great. They're Jackman, and Dylan Dow is one of the best guys. I mean, he's a multiple time champion of the sport, but it's just that magic, man.
Can't explain it. It's not the details or. You know, building fast cars and qualifying good and having a great pit crew puts you in position to win. It's just magic.
It's magic. It's just magic. The magic man.
So, like I mentioned earlier in the show, the 47 crashing, leaving pit road was what essentially took our strategy that we were banking on playing out and going long. Kind of made it a push. I thought we could have netted about 4 or 5 spots, maybe made it back on the lead lap if this instance doesn't come out. But the 4 is just came out a lap or two earlier. The 4 is trying to like get a big run on the 99 on the off the corner, and the 47, it's really dirty down there. You're in the gas trying to like blend. That little bit of apron kind of like tightens up and goes back to the left more than what you think, and the 47 misjudged it, and the 4 was a bit lower than what he expected. Right here, you're trying to push the gas down. Oh, dang. That's all it takes. One little mistake like that, about a foot too high.
That's a tough look.
A little bit too aggressive, leaving pit road, and that can end your day. Let's see out of the windshield of the one here, right behind the 47.
Oh. I don't know. I don't see any fault of the 4 car there.
No, he's on the racetrack. The 47's blending.
The 47 also can't see that. Like, he can't see that the 4 car is coming like that.
He can see that he's coming. He doesn't anticipate him coming that low to finish the corner. I don't know if the 4 was doing that to just pinch those guys off, too. Like, that might have been part. You know, because if he's racing those guys, if you can kind of pinch those guys down and so they don't get as good of a launch, you can buy a couple more seconds.
I've always felt, and I don't know, but etiquette-wise, I always felt that the guy merging is more in charge of not wrecking than the guy that's actually at speed.
For sure.
So
that's why it's called yield. You yield.
There's no yield
like
sign.
In a traffic circle. We do need to put a yield sign out there. Yield to traffic.
When I remember being younger, working for Jimmy Blewett at the racetrack, and he told some guy one time, it might have been Dave Michaels at Wall Stadium, there's no yield sign in the middle of the corner. You don't have to stop there. It's like, golly, it's always stuck in my brain. But the one thing that I didn't get to see was there was a big wreck. I saw them all coming by wreck, but there was a big wreck on the backstretch late in the race. I never saw
after
what
this,
happened there.
Re-racked it, right? Everybody's on. Some guys wave. Some guys are on tires. A little bit of a mix-up. You've got lap-down cars. You got lap-down cars in front of lead-lap cars from guys that had the wave because it fell in the middle of a sequence. And you have the 11th place runner above Wallace, 24 car, trying to make their way back towards the front. And this we're seeing the aftermath, but this really started into one because his teammate, not teammate's fault necessarily, but the 45 sees a lap down car in Zane in front of him. He's going to put him in bad spot. He makes a 3 wide bottom. on Zane. Zane's in the middle, and the 23 car's on the outside. So now he's up kind of in the middle of the racetrack in dirty air trying to get the power down.
Bro, you're right in the middle of that.
I was right behind it. And I was like, watch out. And I just watched Bubba. Like, sorry, Bubba. See you later.
I gotta find
I'm
Bubba.
In my mirror right now trying to block Ross. You're he's like, going he's going high, middle, this, that.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, I just stayed to the wall here because you know it's going to self-clean. The banking has on the straightaway is huge there. So the 71's in a bad spot. Trying to score a little tight. 23's tight in his door. And that just... It just, the hole closes, ends the 23's day, ends the 24's day, ends the 20's day.
20's had a rough stretch, bro.
Big lick out of the 24. Holy cow, right in the side of the 23. Yeah, hits come hard at Dover,
playoff contenders, man, out of the race. That's a big deal.
I don't like the stretch 20's on right now. We generally expect to see those guys in the final championship four. I know this is early in the season. We're only 11 races in, but that you get given up a lot of stage points, given up a lot of playoff points this early in the year. That's what has always gotten those guys deep into the playoffs. So I know that Adam Stevens and Chris Bell, they have the potential to win each and every week, particularly we go to Kansas this weekend. They're always in the hunt. But it's tough to really right that ship when you feel like you can't do a lot of things right. That 20 car has been watered up the last couple weeks and has not been good. But somebody who's been pretty adamant about this car and not being a huge fan of it is KFB. Yep. He had some comments after the race. Let's see what they had to say in the front stretch.
The aero blocking is just so bad. It's so bad. And everybody knows it and uses it as a defense item. And we lost the straightaway to the 19. That's what frustrated me the most is he was slower. He was slow. And just would not give me an inch in order to be able to get by. About wrecked us twice off of two.
I think you mitigate. I agree with him. I think you mitigate 75% of the aero blocking, particularly in the middle of the corner, lane changes and things like that, if you get rid of the cameras.
Well, the 11 did, like, he just, in dirt racing, you just call it sliding yourself.
Yeah.
He just would go in there.
Middle,
and just middle, slide to three quarter, and then when the five car had to cross back over the wake,
yeah,
he would just be.
He couldn't generate momentum.
Well, when you have to cross over the wake, it seems like you lose turn and you have to get back out of the gas. I don't know much about, like, I was in the aero group at Stuart Haas for years, so I could tell you back then what those cars did, but I haven't been. I'm just on the pit crew side with these cars. I don't know what it looks like, but I do know that there's more downforce being made under the car.
A lot more.
Than over top of it. So we probably have to start looking at taking some of that away. This car is too good for you guys. Everybody's going so fast.
Yeah.
It's trending more towards an F1 car to where you kind of get out front.
Yeah.
And then you pass on pit road and make the hay on restarts. Now, like, that being said,
it's like an aero accordion.
At the beginning of the race, when you guys aren't so big on aero blocking, you pass a lot of cars. They come and go. You can pass well. But you give us some, you give a cup team and cup driver and crew chiefs something to work on for a little while, and they're going to figure out the best way to do it, and it's going to do this. Do we need to look underneath the car? I just feel like there's a little bit too quickly to call to action for changes from the fans and from people in the industry.
I'd agree with that.
And two, we're a little slow to make changes on stuff that we probably should. So I think we need to all meet in the middle, try some stuff, figure out what packages are good here and there. And then there's, you know, points of knobs that we can't turn that I don't understand why they're not turnable. But there's a lot of layers to the cake that a lot of people don't see.
Mm-hmm.
So figuring, I think we can all agree on, other than Denny, I think he said in his post race, like, yeah, I don't really use the rear view mirror. It doesn't matter to me, which, like, he is smart and calculated enough to where if it's an advantage to him, he's not going to tell you it's an advantage to him.
Yeah.
But I think that you just get rid of those for this week.
Yeah. See what happens.
See ya. I don't know why we went to him in the first place.
I don't know either. I think that was the OEM thing. Oh, my Chevy Silverado has a rearview camera. Let's put it in. Mm-hmm. And not knowing that, like, oh, it's another tool where we can see 75 more angles or 75 degrees of angle more out of the back, like, of course you're going to use that as a defensive tool.
I know if I get in my new truck with the big screen to back up to my trailer, or if I get into my shop truck that just has a mirror, it's way harder with just the mirror.
Yeah, you're going to use your mirror, you're going to use your camera.
Yeah, it's way harder just using the mirror than the camera, for sure. So,
pull cameras out.
Yep, pull them out.
That's low-hanging fruit. That's low-hanging fruit, for sure. Because now you go to Kansas and everybody, like, you legitimately, the guy in eighth is mirror driving the guy in ninth. The guy in ninth is mirror driving the guy in tenth. Where if you're on the offensive, if your eyes are just locked in on the guy in front of you trying to formulate runs, and that guy's eyes are locked in on the next guy in front of him, then you can actually have some comers and goers, and you can move around and not worried about your lane getting covered if you find a little bit of juice. So,
yeah, you see the 11 car here. He would just. Like I said, in dirt racing, they just say you slide yourself right down to the bottom.
Right, I'm going to keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. Like, that's not a normal line to drive it in lane two and then end up in lane four. You see the five just staying above you. Okay, let's go to the bottom here.
And he'll drive up off the exit and blow the wake across the nose again. See, he gets tight late there.
So the five trying to show his right side.
And the last, it seemed like the last, I don't know, I watched it for the last five laps maybe, the five kind of committed to the top and trying to make hay up there, and the 11 just kind of committed to that 2.5 lane entry all the way up, slow, lazy, kind of
fade to the top.
Fade to the top, exactly. And
that was enough.
I think people are more excited about it if it's the five doing it to the 11, right? Like, if the 11 doing it to the five, people are like, this sucks. But if it's the 5 doing it to the 11, they're like, that was pretty good.
Yeah, he's had a little more speed that day. Yeah.
But as a competitor, right, you'd like to be able to see if your car is better and you can figure it out to get there and not get stalled out 2 car lengths behind him.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, I'm tired of talking about that. So then, so Denny Hamlin gets win number 54. Do we still think he's going to get to 10? Wasn't that the over-under this year? No. If it was going to get to 60.
It's on his way. I don't see anything getting in front
he's
of him now.
He's got one less. One less to get to 60 now. Six more wins, though, would be
very much doable. 3 out of 11. Pretty much 4 out of 12 if you count the duel. Or not the duel, the L.A. Coliseum.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. He's probably, by the numbers, he's the best driver in the field. He's got a great crew chief and the best pit crew on pit road. So.
And that's the magic.
It's mad, the magic man.
54 career wins, ties Lee Petty. That's a pretty big notch.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Was it 12th all time on the list, I think? So, hey, the fellow can drive. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. And there's several. Pit Road Boats and Woes breakdown. Let's talk about that right after the break.
Join Todd Gordon and myself each week for NASCAR Inside the Race. We'll break down exactly how the race was won.
Plus, we'll dive into the data and go in depth on race strategies, penalties, and rule changes.
Catch NASCAR Inside the Race, presented by Consumer Cellular, each Tuesday on NASCAR's YouTube channel.
Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number smart beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number smart beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
All right, guys, welcome back for some Pit Road Boats and Woes. I didn't see much of these because you don't really get updates from Pit Road Boats and Woes on the NASCAR app or in the broadcast, breezing back through it. But there were several. What do we got?
Yeah, first was a 45 and a 43. Corey Heim did a good job, dude. Yeah. Wow. Gets hit again in his pit stall. He was doing a good job all day. Whose fault is that, Corey? Who do you blame that on as a driver?
Crew chief of the 45.
Crew chief of the 45. So the 45 should have checked up a little bit.
I feel like the spotter of the 45 needs to know who's right around him. Needs to relay that to the crew chief on channel 2. 43's crew chief, Dave Ellens. I think he wasn't there calling the race. Joey Cohen was there calling the race. So essentially somebody who's, you know, not very comfortable or not doing it very often. But he was in front of the 45.
He was on the highway, he's getting the ticket.
On the highway, the 45 is getting the ticket.
Yeah.
I feel like that's crew chief and a combination of spotter on channel 2 telling him 43 is pitting.
I don't feel like the 43 can do anything there because you're just banking on when the 40. Like under green, we had the situation where the 47 was the pit stall behind us and they were there. But it was quite apparent that they were going to be done as long as they didn't have an issue.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of easy to understand that under green, because you just have a couple cars around you.
Yeah.
Not everybody's on pit road at the same time. Under caution condition, the 43 can't be paying attention to what the 45 is doing five stalls down, you know, four stalls down. But yeah, that's a good point about, I think it's just a racing deal. The bummer is it's such a sensitive area that it hurt the 45 splitter.
Mm.
So it inevitably made them tighter. I'd say.
Didn't help it.
So.
Yeah, but shout out to Corey Heim getting plugged into that thing this week. Did a good job. He was ripping the top.
How about being like, hey, your first cup race and you drive an STP colored 43.
Yeah. Good luck. Pressure. Yeah. It was cool to see Eric Jones at the racetrack this week talking about it, though, as well. So hopefully he's back soon. But I think Corey Heim's going to do him a good job in that 43 car.
He
was rolling this weekend on the top. Not sure what happened. If he got back, I don't know where he finished, 25th, 6th.
I don't know where he finished, but, I mean, it seems like some of the young guys, when they first get in the Cup Series, it's like they run better right off the bat because you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
And it's like, just
then you
go
slip
for
a tire and stick it in the fence. Like, oh, okay, let me back her down a bit.
Yeah.
I wonder, too, why we're making a push for truck guys as fill-in guys. As replacements. They're just, like, not pulling any Xfinity guys.
Is Corey Heim not an Xfinity guy now?
He's, like, a part-time Xfinity guy for Samuel L. Hunt Racing.
I don't know.
I
mean, they took the Xfinity guy and put him in the 4 car.
Yeah. Yeah, but you just see more. They're just going towards truck guys.
If you could pick an Xfinity guy to fill in, who would it have been?
Well, it depends.
Well, just no. Just no allegiance, no sponsor, no just one
Chandler
guy.
Chandler Smith. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, he wheels. And he's got some cup experience, too.
I'd pick Ryan Truex because I like his hair.
I would love to see Ryan Truex in a cup car.
Big
again.
Ryan Truex Jr. fan.
Yeah. Shout out to him. Big dub catcher. All right. Next woe. The 20 car. What are we doing here?
Hey, good move on them. They obviously have an issue on the left front. Lugging up Blake Houston. Where they had I have a tough time at places like Dover, the way the car's set up, pulling the left front sometimes. So if it gets jammed a little bit, your jackman is so fast now, you're just putting the left rear on and you're not checking off on the front.
You're anticipating that front being tight and right.
Being tight and right. But you have to, you know, these elite jackmen, some of them, you know, you can just rush back to the jack and hit it. But we have these open mic systems that we've all talked about, the intercom system. So I don't know if carrier Jake or Blake had, you know, called a check or called a wait. But Darrell comes back to the jack handle hard, drops it. The lug nut's not on there. Good news is they stopped them. They backed it up. They got it tight. Nobody got suspended. They didn't have to re-pit. So they were able to start in the position that they came off pit road. Unfortunately, the position they came off pit road was quite a bit further back than where they came in.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you're going to have these issues. We saw the 24 car have an issue as well. I think this was under green. See, they go to jack it up. At first, I was trying to understand. So the car spit the jack out.
Yeah.
So then what you have to do is they pulled both tires out, so it's on the rocker. So they went back. They got a second jack. They put it underneath that little lip right underneath the two, kind of where the
where it kicks exhaust
up.
Is.
So you have to jack it up to be able to get the jack back under it. Because when it falls off the jack, great right front by Cordero, by the way. When it falls off the jack, it's just on the jack stop. Yeah. So you can't get the jack back under it.
Yeah,
you,
it's
so
it's
you
flat.
Have to watch. You'll see him grab a spare jack.
Oh, it's out, under green.
Put it
too.
Under the lip.
Holy
say jack
moly.
It up. Get the other jack under there. Then they move on. You're running at such high speeds. At first, I wasn't sure if the left front when he pulled it, if it hit the handle and dropped it. If that's the case, it doesn't spit the jack out. It just drops the plate.
Mm-hmm.
But being that the jack got totally spit out from under the car, it tells me the plate wasn't under there all the way, or it could have teetered and kind of spit it out. But nonetheless, they fixed it. They moved on, but that's how they lost all their track position for the day.
That's tough. That's yep. TUFF tough, because it came in second, went out 18th, and you just can't overcome it.
Yeah, that was tough. But, you know, one team that did not have any issues all day.
The 11.
Fastest team of the day on average. Hurts my heart. They beat us by 100th for fastest pit stop of the day.
What was it?
It was a 869 for them. We had an 870. So we were fast, just not fast enough. The 11 team continues to
be
the magic men that they are. And be the dogs
of
the week.
Of magic Mike's going around there.
Yeah. Yeah. None of them are named Mike, but nope. But yeah, a great picker nonetheless. And, you know, we had the conversation. Does Denny get the 60? These guys are hitting on all cylinders, and if they can keep this up all year, it'd be hard to not
make it. Does that make them like 5 times dogs of the week?
It makes them the best picker on pit road. Definitely throughout the first quarter and starting the second quarter of the year. It's kind of in a lot of the pit departments, you break down the year into quarters. Like the first quarter would have just ended. It's like 10 races, maybe one or two or 8 or 9. But they definitely won the first quarter. They've been the strongest team. It's kind of been them, and then the rest of the top 10 is really close. It kind of changes all week, but the 11 has been the standard of the best team all year. They gave Denny control of the race. They never relinquished it. Great for them. Pump for those guys. Wish they'd slow down a little bit, but hopefully we just get faster so we can compete with them. But, yeah, the 11 team, I think the 5th time dogs of the week, best average, fastest time, and they get the win. So shout out to the 11 team.
Them boys pretty good. Them boys are pretty good.
Yeah, you know what's funny, though, is, like, we talk about this quite a bit, and it's like being a pit coach is like a fool's errand. It's like a fool's errand, like a job for you're just gonna always get. So I think about like Brian Holland over there. He's a pit coach, good friend of mine. And I think about how good of a day they had with the 11, right? So like Gabe Hart and that bunch will be happy.
Yep.
But then we just watched the 20 car. So instead of celebrating how good the 11's been doing and how much work they put in, he's got to go figure out how to make the 20 better. And then they've been going through with the 19, so he's got to figure out how to make the 19 better. Yeah. So everybody thinks it's great, but I think as a pit crew coach, especially with a team that has like 4 teams like that, one is doing well, but then you have 3 others to deal with. So like no matter how good one team does, you're inevitably going to have a crew chief and a team that's like, and a driver that's pissed off at you.
Yeah.
So like I said, like I think it's definitely a job for not for the faint of heart, for sure. You need to definitely.
And then
I think you become the whipping. I think you need to learn how to be the whipping post for some of these crew chiefs.
Yeah. Well, then and also, hey, if all your teams have a good day, it's like, well, good. Yeah, good. You did your job.
Yeah, you're supposed to. I'm telling you, I think being a pit crew guy right now is the most demanding job in the sport. I think being a driver is obviously like the hardest. You know, don't get me wrong, but I think a driver has some leniency where, like, hey, man, yeah. Just missed it. It's okay. You know, you kind of get away with it. Where like a picker guy, it's like being a field goal kicker. Like, make the fucking field goal. Like, can you not? How hard is your job? Just make the field goal. Just go faster than everybody else.
Yeah.
Just be great all the time. Don't mess up. What are you doing? Why are we getting beat? Like, that's literally what it is. And it's like, okay. But like, if you miss it as a crew chief, like, yeah, man, we missed it. We'll try again next week.
Yeah, it's just this driver. Sorry, man.
Got a bad tire. But like, as a picker guy, it's like, you have one f***ing job. Change the tire.
Yeah.
Like, okay, man.
In 8 seconds, dude. How hard is it?
Yeah. I mean, how hard is it? But yeah, that's where you're at, but it's a job we signed up for.
I wish they could just dub in some violin music in the background.
I don't feel bad for me.
I feel terrible for you.
I feel bad for the drivers when they're just like, man,
It is hard.
Yeah, guys, just got to get the car better.
Yeah,
just
make this thing go faster and turn better.
Hey, but by the way, load this thing up and go get on my plane and fly home. Actually, I'm going to go back to my bus and shower first. I'm going to get on my plane and fly home. You guys, hey, you got some brake dust on your face. Maybe you can clean it up once you get off, done eating your soggy sandwich on your plane. Hope you get a middle row.
That Italian soggy sandwich on the bird this weekend was delicious, bro.
I didn't eat it. Our pit coach has been getting us Chipotle. But we baited, so the 9-car guys were on our plane.
That's a whoa. That soggy croissant honey-baked ham sandwich, bro, is a whoa.
You get a pretzel bun sandwich sometimes, and they're dry and soggy at the same time. I'm like, how is this even a thing? But what is going on? But nonetheless, hey, another...
First-world problems, man.
Yeah, on your private plane. Another thing that happened this weekend on pit road, shifting gears a little bit, the ARCA race.
Did you see?
I hope it was Steve-O. Steve-O... is the guy? It was pretty much Corey's crew chief. I don't know if it's Steve
hard to
or
say.
Not.
He's got a baklava fixing the right rear quarter panel of Carson Quapel's ARCA car. Legitimately takes the aluminum pit sign. This seems to me like a Steve-O situation.
This is something he could have learned right here at the Joy Seating
for sure. That doesn't look like him in the helmet. Yes.
Oh yeah. Get the big. Yeah. Well. The quarter's ripped off of the 82 car, so they...
I think he had a right rear tire go down, maybe.
Yeah, and the carcass ripped it off. Or he got hit.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, you find a way. That's a... I get that question a lot. What makes a good racer? And to me, it's somebody that finds a way. And then they put some black tape over top of it.
And looks good as new.
Never know anything worse. It's like an inch or two longer, so it's definitely got better side force. They know what they're doing. Sometimes, damage repair, you can make it better than it was.
So Carson was the fastest car in the ARCA race, but through a little bit of attrition, but also getting better each and every run, Connor Zilich, that kid, you're going to hear that kid's name a lot.
Dude, I saw him at Millbridge 2 weeks ago. We went out there and just pounding the top, made it into the dash and just hauling the mail. He's
a real one.
He's
bro.
Coming up. He's going to be in one of these cup cars before long, and he'll be a name to remember.
Yeah, he is. He's very good. Guys like him, guys like Brent Cruz with all the tools of the OEMs with, you know, Connor's a GM guy, Chevy guy working with Josh Wise.
Connor's Illich's fire suit has like four different cup teams on it.
It does. He drove like a truck for Spire.
Hendrick Spire, Trackhouse, the Ganassi's probably, who knows what's on there.
Everybody's wanting a piece of that fella. He won the 24, won Sebring also in the LMP2 car, so he wheels.
Good for him.
He wheels everything. So he's going to be excited to see where his career goes. Keep an eye on that fella. Now we got to keep an eye on these Penny for Thoughts questions.
I'm Ryan Flores. Join Kim Kuhn and myself each and every week at Around the Track. We'll get you ready for the upcoming race weekends, from short tracks to the Cup Series, whether you'll be attending in person or watching from home.
Coming your way each week is the best bets to win some easy money and driver suggestions to help pump up your fantasy lineups. Around the Track also tells you what to watch for in the NASCAR Regional Series and which young phenom drivers to keep your eye on.
Plus, our At Traction segment gives you all the fan activities, concerts, and tailgating fun at the track. Be sure to check out Around the Track each and every Wednesday on NASCAR's YouTube channel.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
Let's go.
Got a couple good ones this week.
All right, first one. People saw Kelly on pit road before the race. You guys had a little baby moon in Dover.
We did. Kelly and I went. We left the kids with mom and dad, so appreciate them watching that. Not often do you get a parents' weekend alone. And what do you do when you do that? Absolutely nothing.
Yep.
We napped. We went to see a movie. We sat in the hotel room. We just sat in quiet.
It was actually quite nice. Had a couple nice dinners.
Went to Rehoboth Beach, actually, which I like it there.
Did you go to JP's?
No, we went to like Henlopen Oil House, Oyster House or something. It was banging.
We need it. So the first
thing
thoughts.
There was other people in there that weren't cup drivers too.
We need an update on the new expected baby. How is Kelly?
So that was probably the last race she's going to go to before the baby comes. She's 33 weeks. Levi was 5 weeks early. Jensen was 2 weeks early. So I think we're anticipating her going early at this one. Hopefully that puts it around Charlotte weekend again. We'll see. But yeah, she's going to be staying home till that baby comes. She's super uncomfortable.
And oh, yeah.
Just feeling super pregnant.
She looks like she ate a watermelon seed.
Yeah.
She came in the pit box for the race. Talked to her for a little while.
Yeah, it was cool. We're hanging out. She doesn't sit on pit box very much. She normally just hangs out in the hall or whatever. But yeah, she was in the trenches.
Oh yeah. Second question.
It was
you
her
can
idea.
Do, you can do that when you're not chasing kids around.
Yeah,
pit
that's
road.
Right. Yeah, it was her idea to go along, actually.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, she told Sparks that we need to go along here and lead some laps.
Smart
TV.
Smart. Maybe bring her every week.
This is for you, Skip. What is your week like running business, powder coat business, and changing tires?
I keep the first thing. The first thing's changing tires. And then the guys at the powder coat business do a great job kind of running the day-to-day of the shop. So I just make sure the billing and everything's done. And I think NASCAR has me working harder, whether it be here at Stacking Pennies or on Tuesdays at Around the Track. So, but number one thing is to be a good tire changer. So that's what I work on the most.
Okay.
Last one. This is a tough one. I was thinking about this. Is Ryan Newman a Hall of Famer? I don't have stats in front of me, so I don't know. I'm not prepared for this question.
Yeah, that's. I don't think neither one of us have stats.
Is Greg Biffle a Hall of Famer?
I need to look at the stats.
I need to look at Biffle's stats and Newman's stats. It sounds like Jeff has something to say here. Biffle's now a nominee. Yeah. I know that. Which I can get down that. I can get down that because Mike Trower is better than all of them. So put Mike Trower on the ballot and take all those other guys off. But anyway.
Who's Mike Trower?
Look him up. Best picker guy that's ever lived. We'll get
the ultimate dog, the big dog.
He's the Hall of Fame dog.
He's not the Hall of Fame dog.
But we only put in drivers and crew chiefs. So moving forward, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I worked for Newman. I think Newman was great. I think he was good for the sport. He won in, I think, every division, even modifieds, all the way up to Cup cars. I'd have to look at stats, but I'm a big Newman fan, so I don't want to give
23 years in the Cup Series, 733 races, 18 dubs.
No championship, finished second.
He's made, over his career, obviously the team made this, before they even stopped counting, what one was that, 2016 maybe, $87 million.
Yeah, it's quite a bit.
I think you have to look at stats when you're talking about Hall of Fame guys. There's the stats you have to look at without the names attached and differentiate what's the bar in which you have to meet to make it statistically, but there's also the impact that you make to the sport, progressing the sport while you're either in a car, off the racetrack, and then when you're done driving as well. But that's why they have a board. That's why I have a lot of people informed making those decisions.
Biffle had a shorter career, one more win. I don't know. I mean, Biffle and Newman's careers are
comparable. Yeah.
So I wouldn't say particularly Biffle left the sport a better place than Newman did or vice versa. I think they're very comparable. Biffle has a truck championship.
I'd give the nod to Newman just because he – from his flips and his crashes, he's added 3 or 4 more roll bars to the cars.
Yeah, he has. Safety wise, I'd say that.
And I think everybody else that has a roll bar named after him in the cars in the Hall of Fame.
I'll say this
on that alone.
If I'm starting a race team and I need somebody to come in there and make my team better, I'm bringing Newman and Biffle.
Yes.
So I don't know. But that's an uneducated opinion. Who's your penny stackers this week?
Several penny stackers. A lot of Court of the Joy merch walking around. Dover. I guess that's like home, familiar territory. Being up in the Northeast, a lot of people coming down from the Northeast.
Definitely my home.
Sold
track.
Out of, yeah. Sold out of merch this week again. They're adding some stuff. But some guy comes up, hey man, and hits. I was like, not even ready for it. Are you ordained? As a no. Well, we just got engaged. We want you to do the wedding. I was like, whoa, dude. I don't know if you want me doing your wedding, but I can look into it. You know, I think it's only like $75 in like an hour class. But that would be Paul and Olivia. So congrats to them on getting married. They said they're going to send me a wedding invitation. You'd be surprised how many wedding invitations I get.
Really?
A lot.
I'm just going to show up at one random one.
I really want to. Yeah. Would love to show up. Keep sending your wedding invitations. Maybe I can send me your registry. I'll buy you a nice little gift. But Paul and Olivia, congrats to y'all.
You like weddings?
I like it when I have nothing to do with it. I've been the best man in a couple, but it's fun just going and, you know.
Nobody loves weddings more than Joey Logano.
Is he a big wedding guy?
I freaking love weddings. Yeah, he'll dance. I remember my wedding, he was just dancing the whole night on the dance floor.
What else are you going to do?
That guy, I don't know. I just like, that's a weird stat. But yes, he loves weddings. Loves love.
He does love love. Jim from Northeastern Pennsylvania, also a Penny Sack of the Week. Appreciate you guys continue to give us love for the show. Was wearing a Quarterly Joy hat in the Worth tent over there. There was like a meet and greet. They had a bunch of Worth employees. A
lot
employees.
Of Worth people there this weekend. My Worth fire suit was sick. It was
that's
white.
That's one of the best looking cars. That it's 12 great. Worth car is gangster.
Dude, our fire suits are sweet too before the race, and then after the race, it's just filthy.
Yeah, the white ones look good.
I get the, I'm like, and I'm 10 out of 10, I'm always the dirtiest guy on the team after the race.
Well, you were that to start the race too.
Because I'm just working. Just a working man.
Yeah,
the
you're
coal mine.
New Jersey, so you're always dirty. And also, hey, shout out Mike Joy for giving us not even the, didn't name the podcast on the broadcast, but at least said, hey, listen to Corey's podcast. He says sometimes they like to be a little bit off in left field with strategies. Thanks, Mike. I know you're not going to listen, but it's called Sag and Pennies. Appreciate the shout out on the broadcast.
He's going to listen to Harvick's because it's Fox deal.
Yeah. Naturally, but that's all he deserves that. But nonetheless, I'm glad that you guys, whether you're listening to SiriusXM or on your where your favorite podcast platforms are, or you're watching on YouTube, I don't need all those other people to watch. I just need you to tell your friends.
A lot of penny stackers this week.
A lot of penny stackers. What is this IndyCar mannequin I keep hearing about?
I don't know. I guess a mannequin. I guess they have stuff all over the racetrack.
Oh, my. What?
It gets hit at one point.
Who was that was just driving by?
So they're a barber. Oh. Somebody drops a mannequin from the bridge.
No. So I guess Scotty is a stud.
He is a stud, dude.
He just took a picture with the mannequin.
Yes.
Had to meet the old girl, even though she nearly ruined my race.
What if it wiped his wing off?
Oh, my gosh. Imagine if you're just driving open and you get hit with one in the head. I guess they have. So I asked pit coach Sean Reinemann. He's the IndyCar pit coach this morning. I guess they have at Barber like a bunch of stuff like that all over the racetrack, like a giant spider in the infield. It's tough. I like watching IndyCar races,
so
but we race at the
fell.
Same time. It fell. Yeah, nobody threw it. It like fell. Yeah. So
yeah, I heard that's a quirky joint. It's got a bunch of weird things all around, but yeah, it was funny whenever it landed.
How far is that from Talladega?
The shorts just fell
not
right
very
off.
Right,
yeah, not very far.
Maybe they just pick, maybe they go and do the all the stuff they find in the infield of Talladega last week and they bring it over to Barber and hang it up.
Maybe
that could be what it is.
I talked to him last week at GM. He was there for Simmons. Maybe we can get him on the podcast. We've never had an IndyCar fellow on the podcast before.
Well, yeah, we'll see. He's at Penske.
Scott, come on over. It's BS on Stag and Pennies in the Nonsense Garage. What else we got?
I think that's it. Would SVG get mad? Would that be?
He's not an IndyCar guy.
Good point.
He is an Aussie guy, though. Is he New Zealander or is he Aussie?
Don't get it wrong. I don't know. I think he is Kiwi as well.
Yeah?
Yeah.
They're built different.
Which, just for everybody listening, if you call the guy from New Zealand an Aussie, it's offensive.
Rumor has it. He said it'd be like calling an American Canadian. And I understand that. That would be fighting words.
La joie. It's French. You came down, your family came down from Canada.
They did. Nova Scotia.
Yeah, so.
But not no more. Claim that no more. Canadian shit out of here. American. Look at that flag over my left shoulder. America.
Oh, glory.
Anything grind your gears this week?
No, I'm good. I am.
I'm gonna make you tell a story. You smacking that fruit plate out of your daughter's hand, though.
Oh well, yeah, she spilled everything out of. Yeah, it was just one of those days.
No, you gotta tell a story.
Well, my kid, we had a long morning and
driving.
We're doing a lot of stuff. We just did a bunch of stuff in the morning on Saturday, and then she spilled a bunch of stuff out of the fridge when she was trying to make a fruit salad, and my natural reaction was just to smack the fruit salad out of her hand too.
No, you knocked the drawer out of the.
Oh yeah, so yeah, she spilled a bunch of stuff out of the fridge. I bent down to pick it up, and then the fridge door closed. And when I stood up, it knocked down the drawer with all the Topo Chicos in it, and they all fell and shattered. And it was just like, ah, smack the fruit salad. So then I had to go get a fruit salad.
Such a dick.
For Spike the fruit salad. Yep. Not my finest moment, but.
Yeah, that really ground your gears.
Broken Topo Chicos really grind my gears.
Anything really grind my gears this weekend? Not really. My gears weren't particularly ground. So we'll try to keep.
I'll tell you
way.
What would grind my gears if cold shirt didn't work again, because you looked like you
it was
were
hot.
Overheating.
It was
You're
hot.
Pushing water, buddy.
No, I didn't have much water to push. I took the bottle. I drank all the water or whatever mix we had in it, and then just dumped the ice down my shirt. Like, oh,
I went nice. Over to get you a nice. Like a body armor water, but they were all gone. So I was like, yeah, well, he's beat. So then I just rolled up the pits.
I was good.
Went on with my
life. I just need to get my core temp down. Once you get the core temp down, you're good to go. That's all I got.
That's it. Good job this week.
Going to Kansas. Keep it on trucking.
Make sure.
Yeah, my dad said Kansas is so flat you can watch a dog run away for 3 days.
Yep.
That's one of my all time Kansas quotes.
It's one of my favorite racetracks to go to too. It's gonna be a full day of pit crewing. It's gonna be a lot like Dover, mile and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Keep your track position, get up on it, strategy, race. And make sure that you tune into our Instagram. You can win some Arctic for our Arctic Ice Cool trivia.
Yep,
you can get
at _ Stag and Pennies.
Yep, you can get this cool bottle right here.
Yep. Or you can be watching us on YouTube. Or you can be listening to us on SiriusXM Channel 90. Or you can listen to us wherever your favorite podcast platforms are. Appreciate you guys for tuning in each and every week. And we'll keep stacking pennies, and you keep stacking pennies as well. Goodbye.